It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, today we're going to be in Galatians again. Today is day 7 of our Galatians study. We'll be reading in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and I've titled this lesson, Hard Questions. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, Paul's not mincing words here. He wasn't afraid to call things like they were. He wasn't afraid of making people mad. He was afraid of losing souls to hell. His concern was that God might be glorified and that as many as possible would hear the gospel preached. He was interested in truth being told, not in the truth being made palatable. Paul asks 6 questions showing his disappointment that the church in Galatia would listen to false teaching. His first question starts the tone, too. Who has bewitched you? He refers to them as being bewitched, reminding the Galatians of their former pagan roots and pointing to the false teachers as taking them back to those roots by adding these magical things to them to be saved. It's the idea of performing the right spells, incantations, or works in order to be saved. Paul's preaching of the crucifixion was so vivid. It was truly as if the hearers had actually been there. This was not ancient history for them. This was the recent past. They had the opportunity to actually see him die, and it is possible that at least some of them may have actually been there. But still, if they hadn't seen him with their own eyes, they had access to the multitude of eyewitnesses who did see him die. There were people they could ask for information, yet they were so easily led astray by these people teaching a false gospel when proof of what Paul was teaching was easily obtainable. Paul's second question is, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? The Galatians, if they were true believers, received the Holy Spirit not by their own merits, but by the grace of God. Having the Holy Spirit indwell in them has nothing to do with their own goodness, their ability to observe the law, or even their own special unique attributes. It is all about Him. The Galatians were looking for a fuller Christian life, but they were doing it in a totally illogical fashion by trying to keep the law. Paul asks the third and fourth questions now. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Why did the Judaizers now decide that, since they were given the Spirit by grace, that the rest must still be up to them? Why did they think that the work that was begun in them, not by their own means but by His, was suddenly something that they could control? Seriously? They really were saying, in essence, thanks for doing that, God. We got it from here. Salvation, or deliverance from the power and effects of sin, was not of their own doing, but from Christ. Sanctification, the progressive process of making us holy, also is not reliant on us, but on Christ. We can't pay the price for our sins. We can't deliver ourselves from the effects of our sins and the hold they have over us. And we can't make ourselves holy. All of that is through Christ, not us. Then Paul asks the fifth question. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? The Galatians had suffered for the gospel too. This wasn't new to them. They had heard, believed, changed, and embraced the gospel, and as a result, they had been insulted, injured, persecuted, rejected, and despised. Why then, after they have suffered for Christ, which, by the way, is something we are all promised will come, why would they then decide to turn around? They've already been through such hard stuff. Was it in vain? Why let it be in vain? Was all the pain and suffering and persecution they went through to be for nothing, because they wouldn't even persevere to the end? They have suffered so much for the gospel, believing it to be true, but now, based on the word of these Judaizers, they turn their backs on the gospel before reaching the eternal reward? In doing that, they nullify all the suffering they went through as they deny the gospel message that Christ's sacrifice was sufficient and complete. Finally, Paul asks his sixth question. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? God's miracles and the Holy Spirit did not come from preaching the law. God gives us His Spirit not as a reward for following the law, but to give us that guarantee that He will keep His promises. Also, as it says in Ezekiel 36, verses 26 through 27, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put in within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." The Holy Spirit keeps God's law on our hearts and helps us to obey it. And all of that comes through faith, which also is a gift from God to us. Now, we'll dig more into Abraham tomorrow with the next few verses and what that means that he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. But for today, I wanted to be sure to include all the questions being asked by Paul here to lay them out. So we'll review verses 5 and 6 tomorrow again. But for today, I just want to be sure that we all see through these six verses the point that Paul is making. It isn't up to us. We can't save ourselves. There is nothing you can do to make God owe you salvation. You can't earn it, because even your very best deeds are done in the heart and mind of a sinful human being, and even those works are tainted by sin. But guess what? That's actually really, really good news. Far from making me feel hopeless, that fills me with hope, because I know me. I know my faults better than anyone. I know how often I fail, even in my thoughts which betray me. I can tell you ways that I have failed that you might never even imagine. If my own salvation, justification, sanctification are reliant on me, let's face it, I'm in some serious trouble. Aren't you glad that it doesn't depend on you? It is not through the law, it is not through works that you are saved. It does not depend on me at all. My question for you today is this. Do you know that? Do you know that you can't earn your salvation? Do you know that your good deeds don't even begin to balance out the debt you owe to a holy, just, righteous, loving God? You can't earn it, which is why Christ paid that debt, if you lean on Him and trust in Him. If you find yourself thinking thoughts along the lines of, "God is lucky to have me on His team. I'm a great example of what a Christian should be," you need to have a heart check, truly. As we read yesterday in chapter 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." You are no longer your own. He is your master now. Are you living as if He is your master, or are you living your life as your own master, condescending to allow God to have an hour of your week on Sundays? He has provided all that you need. Have you realized that, and have you placed your faith and trust in Him? Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, Day 7, Hard Questions.